Chapter 65. The Invisible Man got off the plane at Will Rogers World Airport in Oklahoma City. He might just as well have actually been invisible, for how much notice anyone took of him. On his flights from Boston to Baltimore, and then on to Oklahoma City, his seatmates paid him no mind. He could hear the passengers around him, in the row behind, to the side, and before him, greeting one another, asking what they did for a living or where they were ultimately headed. Saw people shake hands. No one spoke to him. No one shook his hand. Occasionally, a bored businessman or old lady would give him a half-smile or a nod. The longest conversation he'd had on both flights consisted of, "Water, please. No peanuts for me." It was of little consequence to him. What could anyone in the seats around him possibly say that would interest him? Though he was sure there was plenty he could say that might interest them, at least until they ran screaming. He snickered to himself as he made his way to the rental counter, imagining that scene and conversation at 35,000 feet. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. But he had no need of inane chit-chat or brief, meaningless encounters with people he would never see again. He had plenty to occupy his mind, now that he had decided finally on how the payment of his debt to Jesse Stone and Suitcase Simpson would play out. He checked his watch. With no traffic, he'd be back at the storage unit in Dallas within 4 hours. Just under three if he pushed it, but that wasn't his style. Drive ordinary cars. Stay in the speed slot where the cops won't stop you. Walk on the shadowed side of the street in daytime. Keep in people's blind spots until it suits you not to. For now, he was enjoying and would be exploiting the fact that most of the world believed he was probably dead. They might fool themselves that they were being as diligent as they had been before the fortuitous car chase and explosion in paradise, but it wasn't so. It was only human nature to relax, to let their guard down, if only a little. And he knew human nature in a way that most people never would. He knew humans like a rat lab scientist knew rodents. He had seen humans under the most intense stresses imaginable. The only human he worried about was Stone. Stone wasn't the type to relax or assume. He was willing to bet that Stone was even more suspicious now than he was before the explosion and fire. Stone had always been the wild card in all of this, the one he had to plan for and hedge against, the one he had to distract and keep off balance. And that's what this trip back to Dallas was all about, peeking out of the shadows and grabbing Jesse's attention at precisely the right moment. At the rental counter, he stood waiting for a long time, until the woman behind the counter called for the next person online. "Oh," she said, "I'm sorry, I didn't notice you standing there." Of course she hadn't. "That's all right, Victoria," he said in his nasal, high-pitched voice, reading her name tag. "It happens all the time." Walking away, he smiled his special smile, repeating the name Victoria over and over again. At least she had apologized for her transgression and seemed to mean it. He thought of the rude blonde and wondered if his lessons had stayed with her. He just might have to find out.